lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As you're listening to this, it may be after Christmas. But keep this in mind, every day of the year should be Christmas. We should be celebrating the birth of Christ every day of this year, and we should be looking forward to His coming again. But we also need to look back and understand that He gave His life on the cross of Calvary for each one of us. But before that happened, He had to be born into this world. You see, this is a wonderful time of the year, one in which we reflect on the birth of our Lord, the Savior of the world. And sadly for many in our day, it's simply a season that is consumed with gifts, gatherings, and busyness. Most never stop to consider the eternal significance that took place on that faithful day that our Lord, blessed Lord, entered in the world through the womb of a virgin. Now, there are few among us who haven't heard the account of His birth, but many regard it as just a story that has been handled and handed down through the ages as simply a story. Many find it hard to believe that God would in fact come in the form of a man to die upon a cross for the sins of the world. Well, I'm glad that it is much more than a story to me. I believe it is all truth. I rejoice for the day that the angels proclaimed that a child had been born in Bethlehem of Judea. And had there been no birth in Bethlehem, there could have been no death outside of Jerusalem. Had Jesus not come as a humble babe, we would have no means of redemption. What I have to share with you are simple truths that we have all read and heard before. But I am convinced that we need to be reminded again and again of the wonder and majesty of our Savior's birth. I want to take just a few moments to examine the details of this divine encounter as we consider His birth. You see, first I see His birth was no accident. We are given precise information from the Word of God, the King James Bible, concerning His birth. Now, we're all familiar with the newspaper announcements concerning the birth of a child, the newborn and parents' names, dates, places, and so forth. Well, in Luke chapter 1, we find the birth announcement of our Lord. These verses teach that His birth was no accident. His birth was planned. And I see that His birth was at an appointed time, according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." We see the sixth month of the Jewish calendar would be August or September, but those months on our calendar. God has determined that the appointed time for the birth of His only begotten Son had arrived. And this was no ordinary occasion, and it was no ordinary birth. Theologians estimate that the world had existed some 6,000 years prior to the birth of our Lord. There had been literally millions of male children born since the dawn of creation, but none like Jesus. As the calendar of God reached the moment that was appointed before the foundation of the world, news came from God's messenger, Gabriel, that a son would be born. In eternity past, God set the date for His arrival. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." The time had come, but it had been anticipated since Adam walked in the garden. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The Redeemer would come as the seed of a woman. Isaiah prophesied of his birth some 700 years before his coming. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Thousands of years of hope were about to be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. His birth was at an appointed place, not only at an appointed time, but it was at an appointed place. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, "The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth." Well, God had not only appointed the time, but he had also appointed the place for the arrival of the Savior. Nothing was left to chance or mere circumstance. God had carefully orchestrated every detail of Jesus' birth. The Bible prophesied that Bethlehem would be his birthplace. Notice in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 where it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So what is significant about Nazareth? Well, the Bible also reveals the prophecy of Jesus being a Nazarene. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23 says, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Nothing was left to chance. You see, all of this may seem of little significance, but the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was no small undertaking in those days. Nazareth was located some 70 miles north of Bethlehem. Who but God could have orchestrated a birth that would fulfill both prophecies concerning the means of travel and such a vast distance between the two cities? We serve a sovereign Lord who has complete control. We also see that Christ's birth involved appointed people. Luke chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David." And the virgin's name was Mary. Well, the mother of Jesus and the earthly father who adopted him were ordained of God. Mary was espoused of Joseph, who was of the house of David. He was a direct descendant of David, and Joseph was of the tribe and lineage of Judah. God had ordained that Jesus was to come through the line of David, the lineage of Judah. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and until him shall the gathering of the people be." Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And then in Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Can you imagine? All of this was prophesied of before Jesus came into this world. Joseph's lineage, the husband of Jesus' mother, is recorded in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, and it goes back to Abraham through Solomon, David's son. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, but you say that Joseph was just an adoptive father. Well, that's true, but he too needed to be of the lineage of David for Jesus to be accepted of the Jews. Mary's lineage is recorded in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38, and it goes back to Adam through Nathan, David's son. Luke chapter 3, verse 31, Jesus came through the line of David. Well, I see as I studied the Word of God that the birth of Jesus was no accident, and I see that his birth was perfectly planned. We have considered the particulars, the announcement, if you will. Let's consider the perfection that surrounded his birth. His was no ordinary birth. And these were certainly not ordinary circumstances. You see, first I see that his birth involved purity. Luke chapter 1, verse 27 and 28 and 34, and we look at those verses and we find that the angel Gabriel appeared unto a virgin. And this is declared twice in verse 27 alone. She was highly favored of God. He had looked upon the life and character of Mary, and she found favor in his sight. At the announcement of Gabriel, in Luke 1:34, it says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" But we know the account, don't we, by studying the Word of God. And I see there can be no doubt that Jesus was born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Well, the Bible is clear in regard to the purity of Mary. And this confirms to us that she was sexually and morally pure before the Lord. Well, modern liberals argue that the word virgin is translated from an original word that simply means maiden or young woman. But the context of the passage and others is very clear to me and carries the idea of one who has never known a man sexually. If Jesus was to come as God in the flesh, he would have to come through the womb of a virgin. This was the only way that Jesus could be born in flesh without possessing the sinful nature that all men are born with. I want you to notice something else about his birth. His birth involved power. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And we read in verse 37 of Luke 1 where it says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Many people, they say, well, that's impossible for a virgin to have a child without being with a man. No, with God all things are possible. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And we're going to read about that just now as we look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. It talks about this. Gabriel reveals to Mary that the Holy Ghost would come upon her and the power of the highest would overshadow her. Nothing to do sexually, but the seed was planted. Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. The power was the power of God. The power of the Holy Ghost came upon her. The power of God. Christ's birth involved a promise according to the Word of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 27. "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." What was Mary's promise? What did she promise? "Be it unto me according to thy word." Luke 1:38 says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary made a promise to God. She said, "I will do as you say," in other words. She said, "I will be the one who brings forth Emmanuel, God with us. I will bring forth Jesus who's coming to save his people." I pray today that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you do not know him, why not trust him right now? Call upon him. Ask him to come into your heart. Let him know that you're sorry for sin and you can't save yourself, but you're going to depend upon him to take you to heaven. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Pray and ask God to save you today. Turn to him. Get away from yourself and turn to him and ask him for salvation.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.